Alexis Martin Neely is a graduate of a major university law school, first in her class, clerked for a judge in the 11th Circuit, and then joined a major prestigious law firm. But her real-life experiences in the law didn't match her original expectations. Our interview addresses what those expectations and experiences were. What should a lawyer do who no longer likes to practice law? Alexis has good advice for lawyers in this position. Law is a loving, caring, and helping profession. Why don't some clients understand this? Listen to Alexis. As we start this new year, it's good to review these questions and answers.
I have the pleasure today to be talking with Alexis Martin Neely. Alexis graduated from a major law school in 1999 and joined a prominent law firm after a clerkship on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. And from there, left the corporate environment, the nice warm and fuzzies of a quality large firm, to start her own practice and became very successful. I won't say overnight, but it certainly seems like it was overnight because it was a fast pace. Yeah. Alexis, welcome to our podcasting today.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start our interview today by talking about what it means to be a lawyer, what you expected, and what, if anything, was different from what you expected. And let me start the question and answer by asking you, how is being a lawyer today different from what you expected when you went to law school?
Yeah, I had gone to law school, Ed, with a vision of being a trusted advisor to my clients, helping them to solve problems, being there through all of life's stages. And I guess I had this vision of maybe I got it from TV, where the lawyer was the family's trusted advisor. And then when I came out of law school and went to work at the big law firm, I found that that really wasn't the case anymore because of the costs of lawyering. My hourly billing rate as a third-year associate was already up to $400 an hour. I've heard that there's some lawyers that have broken the $1,000 an hour barrier. It's just not feasible for individuals and families to look to a personal lawyer for that kind of guidance. And so everything that we were doing was really about transactions and form documents. And many times those form documents weren't staying updated through people's lifetime, and they really weren't contacting us as things changed in their life. And so it was quite unfulfilling for me. It was not why I had gone to law school. And all of a sudden I was in this big law firm and thinking, oh, no, this is, you know, I've just spent a whole lot of money. I'm majorly in debt with student loans, and I'm at this great prestigious firm, and yet I'm so miserably unhappy. I don't know what to do.
Well, tell me a little bit about how your perception of being the trusted advisor might be different than what accountants believe when in their marketing materials and in their whole persona they seek to be the client's, quote, most trusted advisor, unquote.
Sure.
How are the two professions different, or at least the accounting profession's perception and your perception when you went into law school?
Yeah. Well, I think that the accounting profession is right, too, that really any person or any business owner needs to have a team acting on their behalf. And this is something that I talk about to entrepreneurs and small business owners all the time. It's, to me, the secret of success, is that every small business owner or entrepreneur needs to have a tax advisor and a legal advisor, and oftentimes the financial advisor as well. And in my case, I recommend small business owners have a banker on their team as well. So it could be an accountant, a lawyer, and a banker. If you've got those three people on your team, you can't go wrong because you've got now a team working on your behalf from every quarter. And the legal advisor is going to be looking out for you on liability issues, contracting issues, and just general guidance issues that the tax advisor is not necessarily going to be able to see because they come from the tax and financial record-keeping perspective. But if you've got both of those people on your team, you cannot go wrong. So I agree. I think that the CPA is the other most trusted advisor, but one of them is probably going to need to be the quarterback of the team. And I believe that it should be the lawyer for that. I don't think you're going to call your CPA or your accountant when you get into a car accident or when one of your kids gets, you know, arrested or gets a speeding ticket or you get into a dispute with your neighbor. or if you decide to take out a new mortgage on your house or you're in some credit repair issues, these are the types of questions you need to be talking to your lawyer about, not your accountant.
Well, what made you decide to leave a very prestigious law firm, one that I've worked for in the past and I know quite well, where you were making such great money?
It was a really difficult decision, Ed, and I spent a lot of time shooting all over myself, saying you should love being at this law firm, you should keep this big paycheck, you should, you know, try and make partner here. And it was very difficult because there was so much prestige and so much money. But ultimately, I realized that if I wanted to be the lawyer that I thought that I was going to be when I went to law school, that if I truly wanted to make a real difference in my clients' lives and be the kind of personal and trusted advisor that I wanted to be, that I would not be able to do that at a big law firm, because we were always going to be stuck with the model of billable hours. We were always going to be stuck with a model where, at least in estate planning, we weren't given a lot of support staff resources, because in a big law firm, estate planning is not a profit center, it's a service. And so, you know, we didn't have a big support team there supporting us. A lot of the big law firms are actually phasing out estate planning. And I realized that I wasn't going to be able to do some of the innovative things that I've done now in my law firm, and now I'm teaching lawyers throughout the United States to do. Like, for example, we have created a very unique membership program that our clients can join, and for one low monthly fee every month, get access to their personal lawyer throughout their lifetime to ask questions, to keep their plan up to date, things like that. I never would have been able to do those things at the big law firm, and it was a really hard decision for me to leave. But now looking back, I'm making way more money now than I ever would. Maybe not than I ever would at the big law firm, but certainly not, you know, this soon out of law school. And I have way more career fulfillment, and I am impacting my clients' lives in a totally different way. And I don't have to bill anything hourly. That's really the best part, is I've thrown out the time clocks. Everything we do is flat fee, agreed to in advance, so there's never any surprises. And our clients love that.
Well, I presume you paid off the student loan at least before you left.
No, definitely not. I was only a third-year associate. I was the breadwinner in my family. My husband was a stay-at-home dad. I had two kids. I hadn't paid off the student loan. In fact, I still haven't paid off the student loan. Why? Because it's the cheapest money I've got. I think I'm paying something like, you know, 4% interest on it or something like that. So I'd rather take my money and invest it in my business than pay off the student loan. I'll pay that thing forever. That's fine with me. It's good, cheap money. But, you know, I understand that for lawyers, it's really difficult to think about if you are working at a big law firm and if you can get a job at a big law firm, well, how can you give that up when there's so many lawyers out there who would, you know, kill for that job? That was the thought that ran through my mind again and again. It was, so many lawyers would just, you know, go crazy for this job, and how could you think about leaving? And ultimately, I had to realize that every year that I stayed and every year that I got a raise was locking me in more, because my expenses were only going to raise along with that salary. And eventually it would get so high that I wouldn't be able to leave. So I chose to leave as a third year because at least at that point it was, you know, I could see that I could do it. I was going to be able to replace my income pretty quickly with my own law firm. And I far surpassed it very, very quickly.
What was it about estate planning that made you select that as a practice area?
Well, it was really all about wanting and knowing that I wanted to work with individuals and really be making a difference in their lives. I really wanted to have an impact. I wanted to be that trusted advisor. And at first, when I first was in law school, I thought I'd be a criminal law attorney, and then thought that I'd be a family law attorney because I wanted to work with families. I thought I would be doing divorces. But what I realized is that divorces aren't really bringing people together in any way. It is, you are certainly working with them in a more intimate setting, but really, estate planning is the best practice area for people who love other people, want to help people, want to make a difference, and want to have a real impact in people's lives. And that's what I get to do, and it's great. I'm so happy I chose it.
One of the things that you talk about is changing the way the public thinks about lawyers.
Yes.
How do you propose as an individual to do that?
I think it's all about giving people affordable access to their own personal lawyer again, and helping people to see on a one-on-one basis that lawyers are not big bad people that are out there out to get them, that really being a lawyer is a helping profession. Most of the lawyers I know went to law school because they wanted to help people, because they wanted to make a difference. And the public doesn't get to see that because their only experience with lawyers is typically, you know, negative media images, maybe negative experiences if they're, you know, involved in a car accident or something like that. But that's not really the lawyers. That's really the insurance companies. And we've gotten lumped in with them. And then, of course, there's, you know, high-profile stories about lawyers who are not doing good things. But truly, most lawyers are out there doing great work, really want to be there for their clients, want to help them. A perfect example is I had a client come in and meet with me. He called me in a panic on a Saturday. He was a corporate executive at a big corporation, and he knew that on Monday something was going to happen. There was all sorts of things going on in this corporation with investigators and FBI and this and that, and he knew that something was going to happen on Monday that wasn't going to be good for him, and he didn't know what it was. But he called me that Saturday, and there was some white-collar crime issues involved. Now, I don't handle criminal matters, but the former firm that I was at does, and I knew that the right answer was to get him in touch with someone from that firm. And so, again, this is a Saturday, and I called them. They met with him, two lawyers from that firm met with him on Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for about 7 hours that night. They didn't do that for the money. They did that because they care. They did that because they saw that this was a man in trouble who needed immediate guidance because something was going to happen on Monday, and he did not know where to turn. And that's what being a lawyer is all about to me, and that's what I want to show the public. I want to show the public this other side of us really being a helping profession, which is how it all started out. And so I want to bring that idea back.
Well, that's a great challenge. I mean, I too believe that the legal community is a helping, loving, caring profession,
right.
And how you do that other than on a one-on-one basis, and not every one lawyer has that same perception, is a real challenge. So let me ask you our final question for today, and that is, what advice would you give to a lawyer who doesn't love being a lawyer? Now, one of the things that I have come to believe is that everybody loves what they do. In other words, a lawyer loves being a lawyer, an accountant loves being an accountant, entrepreneur loves being an entrepreneur, but what they don't love is the things that surround it. In other words, a lawyer doesn't like the business of law, which is a trademark phrase of mine, and they want to be in the library, they want to be in the courthouse, they want to be working with clients, they want to do the negotiation. That's what they love doing.
Right.
And all the sidelights, which are essential to a successful law practice, are the things that they tend to not like or to hate in some cases. So, but putting it in a different way, different context, how would you advise a lawyer who truly, after a few years, doesn't even like doing the legal side of what he or she is doing?
Well, Ed, I think that the key is for everybody to get really clear and self-aware about what they love and about what they don't love. And for some people, it's going to be that they love practicing law. They love the actual art of lawyering. And in that case, maybe they want to work for a big firm where everything else is taken care of. Or if they have their own business, then they need to find a way to get the business of law taken care of, which I happen to love that part. I figured out that from everything that there is to do, I actually love working on my business instead of in my business. And so I've set up my life in such a way so that I can work on my business more, and I have other people to work in my business. And so you've got to get really self-aware and know what it is that you love and what it is that you don't love. And if you don't love the actual lawyering, there's so many other things that you can do. You can build a law business and have other lawyers working for you. If what you like is litigating, then you go do litigation. If what you like is the transactional, then you do transactional. That was the one thing that I realized, Ed, because I was really afraid that I had made a huge mistake by going to law school and that now I was stuck with this overpriced law degree and I didn't know what else to do with my life. But what I realized is that I could go out and start my own firm and build something that was really mine, that really, you know, fed into everything that I wanted, gave me the flexibility I wanted, allowed me to make a difference in people's lives. And now I'm taking those systems and the business model that we created in our law firm, and we're systematizing and automating and processing all of that so that we can give other lawyers who don't love the business of law basically a system that they can plug into as a personal family lawyer and let them be lawyers. Let them be the lawyers who just get to work with their clients and don't have to worry about the marketing and the hiring and the firing and the systems and making sure that the work gets done. That was my vision. I wanted to give lawyers a way where they could be just lawyers and do a great job as lawyers and take care of their clients without having to worry about as what you call the business of law. And so we do that through our personal family lawyer program, but that's because that's the part I loved. I love the business of law, and I was self-aware enough to know that, and so I'm phasing myself out as a lawyer and helping other lawyers be better lawyers because of it.
Well, I think one of the keys that you mentioned is the self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Without that, you really don't move forward, or, you know, you get stuck, you know, in what you perceive to be a rut, mm-hmm. and you don't know how to find your way out of the maze. So,
right. And you just spend all your time thinking that I should love this because I went to law school, and I should do this, and I should do that, when the truth of the matter is there are no shoulds. The only should is that you deserve to love what you do and to love your life, and you can do that.
Life is full of shoulds.
Yeah.
Well, on that happy note, Alexis, and it's a good appetizer for 2008.
Yes.
Thank you very much for joining us today, and continued good success
to
you.
Thank you. You too, Ed. I appreciate it.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.